testimony, in giving testimony, we shift our atmosphere. That's what testimony does. So in light of that, I want us to give a big welcome this morning to our brother Joseph Stauffer, who's going to share a special testimony with us about his experience. Come on, Joseph.
Praise the Lord. All right. How's everybody doing? Great, great, great. I just want to put a shout out to the worship team today. Man, that was so amazingly sweet. Come on, man. We got to give them up to him, right? All right. So one of the things that we sing about in the worship service was opening up the floodgates of heaven. Does everybody remember that? It's just like this theme that kind of was going throughout the whole worship service about opening up the gates of heaven. Hi, Lisa. All right. Also, another thing that touched me pre the testimony was the mourner's prayer. And how many of you have lost a loved one, you know, over the last year? Or how many have really lost a loved one in their life that's a pivotal person or a monumental person in their life? A mom, a dad, a grandma, you know, maybe a spouse kind of thing. Okay, child. All right. So for those two categories, I think this testimony will really minister to you personally. And whenever testimony is given, it's kind of hard to take the eye at a testimony. Amen? Because I really want God to be, you know, glorified in this whole time. And I've been challenged to make this 15 minutes. So I'm going to try to make this as quick and as sweet as possible. For those who take notes, I'm going to give you four scripture references. You can jot them down and you can read them later. I may choose to, if I have time, to actually read them out of the scripture. First one is 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. Second one is John 14, 1 through 4. And Revelations 21, 10. 10 through 23. So I'm going to open up with Revelations 21, 10 through 23. And I will read this fast, so forgive me for reading quickly because I am under a time restraint here and I'm trying to honor that. All right. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to give testimony. I pray that your Holy Spirit will really be in charge of this atmosphere, because we're talking about the heavenly realm, we're talking about heavenly things and things of the spiritual realm. It's real easy for the devil to come in and try to, you know, get his little greedy little hands on it. So, but this is very close to the heart of God. So I really want us to guard our hearts against the enemy, but to be open to have our faith increased. Amen. All right. So, Revelations chapter 21, 10 through 23. And this is what it says. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heavens from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great high wall, and had 12 gates. And the gates were 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that had talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all the manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper again, the second sapphire, the third a Chalcedon, I can never pronounce that one, forgive me, the fourth, an emerald. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each separate gate building, being built of one solid pearl, and the main street, the broadway of the city, was of gold and pure and translucent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God omnipotent himself and the Lamb himself are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun nor the moon to give it light to it, for the splendor and radiance glory of God illuminated, and the Lamb is its lamp. All right, so I'm going to give you a testimony of the New Jerusalem in heaven. All right, so there was one day about 7-8 years ago, and I was in the church that I used to attend to, and it was during a worship service. And a prelude to this is I am a fellow pilgrim along the way. I am no better, or I don't hold anything or have anything that's higher than anybody else in this room. If anything, I find myself lower. Anybody who really knows me knows I really do feel that way. So anyway, during this worship service, I walk in. I didn't feel necessarily spiritual that day. Matter of fact, I felt a little bit kind of, I call myself Switzerland. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm just kind of neutral. Okay, I'm walking in. And this church I used to go to, I'm such a creature of habit. I'm the guy that sits in the same spot every week. And when somebody takes my spot, I'm mad dogging you. Okay? So I'm sitting in my regular spot. And in the church, they used to have this huge pole that reached from the ceiling all the way to the ground. And everybody would try to avoid that pole, because you couldn't have really good access to the stage or to the speakers or the worship service. Well, you know, me being the quirky little guy that I am, that was my favorite spot. Okay? All right. So, and I'm always sitting on the edge of the aisle. So here's the pole. There's one seat to the left of the pole, and that's where I'm sitting. And we're singing this worship song. And I just kind of close my eyes. And this is what happened. All right? There's a scripture that Paul talks about where he's not sure if he's in and out of the body, and it's 2 Corinthians 12:1-4, and I want to really read that very quickly. And it says this: I will go unto visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into the third heaven. And I know that this man, whether in the body or away from the body, I do not know again, and God knows. Paul repeats it. And I was caught up into paradise and heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words. And that is really my expression of trying to express this to you. So I'm singing this song, and all of a sudden, I'm transported into this room. And it really wasn't more than maybe 4 or 5 feet long and maybe 2 or 3 feet wide. And in the corner of it, kind of sitting catty corner a little bit, or kitty corner, I don't know how they say back here in the East Coast, but kitty corner, catty corner, is this chair. And it wasn't absent of light, but it wasn't radiant light. It was just kind of, there's this guy sitting there. And I knew exactly who this man was. Could not see the face, but I could see the garb, the clothing that he had on, and I knew that it was Jesus. And as soon as I thought the word, I covered my mouth. Now, if I get a little emotional during this, you'll have to excuse me. I did come a little bit prepared. Okay, so I'm thinking, oh my God, that's Jesus over there. And I covered my mouth. And I was instantly brought back to a vision that I had when I was a small boy. One of my spiritual gifts is I have visions and dreams. So I was instantly reminded of this little vision I had when I was a little boy, about 10 years old, that when I met Jesus, I wanted to sit on his lap and kind of put my head up against his chest. I went through the foster care system, so I didn't grow up having a father until I was an older child. I got adopted as an older child. But that was very personal to me. So, as soon as I thought the thought, I did not physically move my body myself. This was all very effortless everything that was thought and everything that was in my conscious mind would happen on its own. Like Jesus was the one who was making it all happen. So now I'm sitting on his lap with my head against his chest, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of this. And I just am overwhelmed with his presence. Amen. And I thought to myself, what am I doing here? What's the purpose? This has got to mean something. And then all of a sudden, I am standing up, and there's this doorwell. And the doorwell is exactly to my height. Okay? And those who don't know you, I really am tall. I just am visually small. Okay? I'm 6'3" on the inside. All right. So there's this doorwell. It's kind of like this little round thing, you know, kind of going like this. And I could see the panels on the door. Like it was made back hundreds and thousands of years ago. There's no handle on the door. I'm thinking, okay, like am I in Alice in Wonderland? I remember thinking the thought, Alice in Wonderland? You know? And all of a sudden, the door is open. It just disappears. And I'm like, okay. And I'm this side of the doorwell. You know, there's this side, there's you're in the doorwell, and then there's you're the out of the doorwell, right? Okay, so I'm on this side of the doorwell. And me, in my kind of inquisitiveness, I'm like, well, what's that? What's out there? You know, I want to see, you know? And as soon as I thought the thought, I'm like this side of the doorwell. Is everybody with me so far? Okay. So this is where it all begins, really. So I'm looking into this huge mass landscape, and I remember some key points of recognition as I thought, this is heaven. This really is the heavenly realm. And I looked, and it seemed like I looked about a couple football fields long, but there was a consciousness in my thought process that my eyes are seeing miles and miles away, but it feels like it's only a couple football fields long. So there's a distinction between my spiritual vision and a physical vision that we see here. And I looked and looked and looked, and then I saw this edifice being built. And I thought, oh my God. And I covered my mouth again, and I said, that's my mansion. And as soon as I'm saying that to my heart, my spirit, I covered my mouth again. Because I felt like Isaiah said that I'm a man of unclean lips. And I just felt like so unworthy of this whole thing. And there was no condemnation. There was never he didn't even need to say it wasn't about your worthiness. It was a non-issue. But I still felt that humanness within me that I was so unworthy of this. And then I started looking across the scenery, the landscape. And I start looking over to the left, and I'm noticing the trees and the fields. And they were like, you know, if you ever get a, you know, anybody knows me knows I came from the culinary field, right? I was a chef for many years. You ever seen like a good head of broccoli? You know what I'm talking about? The trees were that full and that thick and that tight, close together, and I even thought it's like broccoli. But the trees were like these amazing colors. And I looked down at the grass, and like every single blade of grass that had never been cut was perfect in its place. And the color was so amazingly green like I've never seen before. And they were so perfect, and I could smell them. I could smell the grass. I thought, this is amazing. I looked a little bit over to the left. Everybody with me still? And I saw in the background, and it could have been miles and miles for all I know. And then I looked at this, and it was like looking at the corner of a building or this great monument kind of thing. And it was like I was seeing like the corner. You know, I could see this corner here, and then the tip, and then I could see this corner here. So I was kind of looking at the angle at it. And I thought, oh my God, that's the New Jerusalem. And I covered my mouth again. And I said, oh God, why am I seeing this? I don't understand this. And I looked at it, and I was amazed at it. And I saw the columns. The columns were exactly how the word said. They were made of pearl. They were shiny, like shining all over the place. And inside the middle of this edifice, I could see the columns, and I saw the three gates on this side, and I saw the three gates on that side, and they were open. When I went to Jerusalem this last fall, I remember going to the gates, and one of my first requests, if you remember, is that I wanted to go to every gate. This is why. And they were open. There was no closure. And in my heart, I knew it's because people could come in and out freely. People could come in and out freely. And the radiance of green was absolutely amazing. And that's the color of jasper. It was absolutely amazing. But I knew in my heart, I was only seeing this halfway. And God brought me back to this scripture. And it says this. It's in 1 Corinthians 13:12. I want to read this. And every time I would think of something, God would bring a verse back to me. And God does that in the spiritual realm because he honors his word. He puts his word even above himself. It says it in the scripture. So we're in the spirit realm. He wants to have his word involved in this. It's important to him. And this is what it says. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. And I knew, even in all the radiance and the amazing colors and the light and the smells, that I was only seeing this halfway. And I thought, oh God is so good. He is so good and so kind. And I just felt like this overwhelming presence of his mercy, his goodness and his kindness expressed to me. And I'm such a wretched man, you know. It's not based upon our performance. So then he brought me back to that same place that I was standing in before, and I'm looking at my mansion, and I'm kind of like a little boy. I felt like I was 10 years old, but I felt physically like a man, but I'm in the spirit. It's very kind of confusing to express this because these are utterances that are not, they're not earthly. And I thought, oh my God, I want to see what's in this mansion. As soon as I thought that thought, I am in the foyer of my mansion. I thought, God, man, this is awesome. And I'm like getting like kind of like this little schoolboy, you know, way of myself. And I thought of that verse, and I'm not even sure I was thinking of it. I think it was really the Lord bringing these verses back. And he says, this is what I mean of childlike faith. This is what I've been talking about. I said, God, you're so good. Amen. God, you're so amazing. And I looked at it, and anybody who's ever been to my home knows that I have a real passion for art and design. Matter of fact, I almost went into the field, but I went into the culinary field instead. And I'm looking at it, and I was amazed at the architecture. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this is really amazing. I would have never put that together, but man, it looks really good. And he says, because you didn't know that you could ask for it. You didn't know what to ask for. But I knew ahead of time what you would like even more. And I was like, all right, I want to check it out some more. I mean, I'm here. I'm here. You know, and if he's going for it, I'm going for it. Am I doing okay on time? Okay. So I start looking down the hallway at this mansion, and I see these paintings of men that I've never seen before, And they were lined up on the wall, perfectly lined up in place. And that's exactly how I have my art in my house. I'm so OCD. It's crazy. And I remember thinking, golly, at least it looks really good in line, you know, because that's how I like it. And I said, oh, my God, those are the fathers of the faith. Those are the, and I closed my mouth again, and I thought, I can't even be in the presence of the picture because it was so holy. And I just felt this sense of unworthiness again. And as soon as I thought that, I was brought back to this side of the doorwell. And I thought, you know, I've always wanted a garden. And anybody who knows me, that's, we're going to get hooked up real soon here. Anybody who knows me knows that I have like the black thumb of death. I have no green thumb at all. And I'm thinking, I can keep this thing alive if I, you know. So he says, you want a peek? I said, yeah, I want a peek. I want to see what's going on. And it was almost like this little, you know, kind of action thing. And looked over and he says, I just started the garden. And as soon as the word garden was done, I was back in his lap with my head on his chest. And he says, this is my mansion for you, and I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. And as soon as that yet syllable was done, I was back in the worship service with my hands raised high, singing the same song that I had been singing the whole time. Oh, man. Sorry, I'm being such a wimp. But. Get my stuff together, Stoffer. So I'm back in the song. I got my hands held high. And I looked to the person to my left. I looked to the person to my right. I thought, I'm going nuts. This just didn't happen. I knew in my spirit that it did, but you know. But here are some of the interesting things that I've thought of through the years from that vision. And you may think of something different. But I remember in the mansion, I thought, am I going to be there alone? Yeah, I'm a single guy. You know, I'll be turning 40 plus something here pretty soon. Working on my 50s. Let's just say I'm pretty close to that. And then I thought of my parents, my mom and dad, who are not saved. And my siblings who are not saved. I thought, golly, I want them there so bad with me, you know? I really want them there with me. And as soon as this was done, I didn't tell this story for about 5 years. One of the things I appreciate about Fred and Randy and really the body of Christ here is that I do not consider myself charismatic. Fred and I have had many of conversations about this. I don't consider myself Pentecostal or anything to that. I actually am more on the very conservative side of the Christian circles. But my gifts are on the charismatic side. Okay. So I'm wrestling with this a little bit here, ladies and gentlemen. But I appreciate this opportunity to share these things within all subject of change. I see. I'm not doing any floor stuff. I just want to let you know. It's not going to happen. All right. But I appreciate the audience that has the faith to receive a prophetic utterance or a spiritual experience from a brother and sister who, you know, in this case, a brother that's on the journey of a pilgrim like you are. So over the years, God has brought this back to me more than once in my times of trouble. when I feel insecure, when I doubt his love for me, or I just kind of feeling blue, he brings us kind of back and he says, you know, I'm not done yet. I'm still working on this. So I hope this encourages those who have lost a loved one, because they're experiencing far much greater than what I experience now. And for those who may be on the verge of going home to be with the Lord, these are some of the things that you have something to be excited about. And a whole nother message, or anybody who wants to talk to me later on about this, there are 1,000 different messages within this message itself that I could easily give. But thank you for the opportunity to share this pulpit with such honorable men in the body. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Awesome, awesome. Well, you know, it says in the prophet Joel says that our young men shall see visions and our old men shall dream dreams. So, Joseph, you're apparently still young. You know, I have to say, you know, I was always a little skeptical about visions like that until my mother had one. My Jewish mama, who I used to describe as not having a spiritual bone in her body, hated anything related to Jesus, and she had a vision of Jesus that absolutely changed her life upside down, right side up, overnight. Some of you know that story, but some of you don't, but we'll share it and save it for another time. But thank you, Joseph. You know, as Joseph related, he was one of the members of the team that went to Israel last fall for Sukkot, and it was just such a joy to have Joseph on our team. And let me tell you, he can cook. He's a serious cook. So if you get a chance to experience his cooking, go for it. Well, Joseph, your testimony is a great segue into our sharing the Lord's Supper, which is what we want to conclude our time with. You know, and I say that because his testimony was very, you might use the word, mystical. And, you know, but there's something mystical about the Lord's Supper. If you see it in the eyes of faith, because it's a foreshadowing of this meal that we're going to share where in heaven, called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I would encourage you as you prepare yourself to enter into this time, enter into it in the spirit, because what you're tasting now is a foretaste of something absolutely mind blowing, undescribable, off the charts, that we're going to enjoy forever and ever. Amen. So, so here we go. So, this is part two of the agape meal, and which is the conclusion, the sharing of the cup and the bread and the cup is the conclusion of the agape meal. It's also called the Lord's Supper or communion. Some traditions call it the Eucharist. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul uses the term the Lord's Supper. And he says let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Lord himself and passed them on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me. Then he goes further in that same chapter, verse 26, and says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, that he may come. That he may come and do what? What's he going to do when he comes? He's going to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that cool? That's what he's going to do when he comes. He's going to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Which is why he taught us to pray the what? To pray the Lord's Prayer, which is a prayer that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. So why don't we do just that? Why don't we stand? And why don't we join hands together as we pray this ancient prayer. Just think, this prayer has been prayed by believers for 2,000 years. It's a long time. So let's join in with the communion of saints that, you know, that glimpse that Joseph got of heaven, who've been praying, who did pray this prayer, and now they're with him himself. We're joining in. So let's say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people have said, Amen. Give somebody a quick hug and sit down. For those of you here last month when we had communion, we did something that was called a fire tunnel, where I also called it a healing tunnel, and we want to do this again, end our time that same way this morning, but what I didn't do last time is I didn't really say what it was, so it looks something like that, if you can see that, and. And just to give you a little description, this is not from me. This is from a guy named Mark Grote. He's the senior advertising manager for Microsoft. Yeah. So here's what he said. This is his blog. He said, I attended a meeting yesterday led by my good friend and mentor who spoke during our meeting about the seminar this weekend. During the evening session, they did something I had never heard of, which is called a fire tunnel. The fire tunnel is an idea they got from Bethel Church in Redding, California. A fire tunnel occurs sometimes at the end of a meeting. Leaders and prayer teams form two lines facing each other, ready to pray for, lay hands on for impartation, and to bless people who walk through it. The idea is to move people through fairly swiftly so you don't want one person bunching up the line with a long ministry session while the others are standing by watching. The goal is to move people through as others speak healing and blessings upon them in a rather quick fashion. And then he shares some testimony about that, which I'll skip right now. Then he says, it's amazing to me what the creativity of God's people will bring to a typical meeting from which outwardly springs blessings and healing, changing lives forever. I have never been to one of these fire tunnels. He's never been to one. Just hearing about it. But I will be sure to participate in one as soon as I have the opportunity. It clearly is not religious. And if the idea bothers you on the inside, ask God why. It's only a different format of what many of us believe already, which is God answers prayers, so why not this way? That's pretty cool, isn't it? So here's what we want to do. Actually, Mike, Susie, or one or both coming up, they've asked them to organize this for us, and so we just want to give you a little bit of practical instruction.
This is so good. If you really want to know whether it works, you can speak with Debbie, because last month she was touched. And if you want to share, maybe now or later or whatever, okay. But
she
speak with her.
Touched,
I mean, I was being conservative. Like Joe, I was being conservative, okay? But she was wrecked. So you just never know what will happen. And you'll see people doing a lot of different things. But what's happening on the inside is what counts, not by what you see on the outside. So that's good.
Joseph, will you be a part of our team that prays for people? Because I feel like today, as I'm listening to you, one of the things that needs to be prayed over everybody is the visions and dreams, the bless them with visions and dreams. And also, prayer team people, go first to get communion and take communion first and then come over here to get ready for the fire tunnel. But we want to make sure all of us get communion first.
And What will happen is you'll go through the communion line. So between when you pick up your communion, from there to here, we have a basket right here for your cups. And then the fire tunnel will start through here and go down that way. For those of you who may not make it through, we'll probably kind of push you off to the side. And if you feel like it, you can get back up and get in the fire tunnel. But it's a great time. It's about prayer, quick prayers. This is not time to get a word and a long dissertation. This is a quick movement, counseling. There's no counseling in the fire tunnel, okay? There's no counseling. If you want a prophetic word from Joe or anybody else in here, it's not that time. Go off to the side. If you want more prayer, we will take you off to the side. It's not meant for the fire tunnel. So as Fred said, it's quick. Blessings, quick prayer, you know, if you get a quick word, 30 seconds or less kind of a thing, you know, that sort of thing. So this is about corporate prayer here, and this is an amazing time. You just never know what God will do through this process.
Oh, man, thank you. And I do want to say people do get healed going through these fire. That's why I also called them healing tunnels, because people actually get physically healed. So let your faith be released. I also want to say this is optional. You don't have to do this. Nobody's going to force you to do this, okay? If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. So if you want, if you'd rather just receive communion, go back to your seat, feel free to do that. But if you want to go through the fire healing tunnel, you're certainly welcome.
Well, I was just going to say that the last time we did this, my son Jason was here with his girlfriend, who that week became his fiance. Wedding coming next year, we're excited about. But she was really... Never been through a fire tunnel before, and she was deeply touched by it. So
awesome.
That was cool.
Okay, could you all stand, please? Jesus reminds us in John chapter 6, verse 27, he says, "Do not hunger for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give." As we prepare our hearts, what we're really doing is we're going to partake of food, but it's spiritual food. It's spiritual food and drink. And because that's what Scripture calls it, supernatural or spiritual food and drink. So as you come and you release your faith, you're eating and drinking something the Spirit is imparting to you, which is the finished work of Jesus. His healing, his forgiveness, his atonement, sanctification, regeneration, reconciliation, the Father's blessing. It's all yours. Every spiritual blessing of heaven is yours in Christ. So let it be imparted to you through this special time of communion, the Lord's Supper, as you come to the Lord's table. So if you're coming this morning, you're all invited. Let's just pray this simple prayer together, and then we'll partake. Lord Jesus, we are hungry for your love, and we are thirsty for your Spirit. Only say the word, and we will come. Amen.
Calling all angels, calling the watchmen, angels on the walls, to come and sing with us. Calling all angels, calling the watchmen, angels on the walls, to come and sing with us. Calling the watchmen, angels on the wall, to come and sing. calling the watchmen angels on the wall to come and sing with us. Lord is good. Come sing that His love endures. Come sing that the Lord is good. Alleluia. Come sing that the Lord is good. Come sing that His love endures. Come sing that the Lord is good. Alleluia. Come sing that the Lord is good. Sing that His love endures. Come sing that the Lord is good. Alleluia. Come sing that the Lord is good. Come sing that His love endures. Come sing that the Lord is good. Alleluia. Come sing that His love endures. Come sing that the Lord is good. Faith can move the mountains, and let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, still you know my heart. You're the author of salvation, you loved us from the start. Waiting here for you, with our hands. Everything we promise, faithfulness is true. We're desperate for your presence. presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you.
We're gonna let this go, but for those of you who need to go, feel free to be dismissed. Just make your New Year's resolution three things: love God, love one another, and love your neighbor. Amen.
Song of all song. Oh. are my love. You are my fair one. Winter is past and the springtime has come.
Okay, again, feel free to stick around if you want. You're welcome, but if you need to get going, that's good too. So, Margaret Lorman requested that I, Margaret, this is for you, Margaret. This is for you. This is your request. This is for you. Okay, so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.